Again, it's good to just be with you in the Lord's house and just honor what He's doing in our lives together. And this morning, I want to look at a story that's very familiar to us, one you've probably heard many teachings and sermons from. But as the Lord kept drawing my heart back to this particular story, He helped me to see it in a way that I've never seen it before. And I just want to minister some truths to you that I know the Lord helped me to see. And I believe He's going to speak to hearts today. I want to talk to you about the return to the supernatural. The return to the supernatural. I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And Jesus said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Let's just stop there. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just pray that You'd help me, Lord. Lord, the things that You were ministering and speaking to my heart, Lord, I feel led to share them this morning. And God, I just pray, Lord, that You would just help me to be clear. And God, would You put Your hand upon this word? Would You put a heavenly weight upon this word? Would You put the glory of heaven upon this word so that it weighs upon our heart and sinks into the deep places of our life, God? And Father, I thank You, God. Lord, I thank You, Lord, that You have a way of bringing us back into the supernatural and places where we need to walk in supernatural power again. Lord, I thank You. Lord, we give You glory, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at verse 22 again. Verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away." So I want us to first recognize that it was Jesus who instructed His disciples to get into a little ship and go to the other side. That it was Jesus who told His disciples, "I want you to get into a ship and sail to the other side." And so what we see here is this is simply the divine leading at this moment in the disciples' lives. They are following the leading of the Lord. And beloved, listen, as each one of us walk in an intimate relationship with God, God is leading us to do something. God is calling us to do something, whether it's ministering in the church or being a light on our job or raising our children in the Lord. We are called to do something. The call of God is upon all of our lives as we walk with Him and as we follow Him. And going back to our text, here is what I want us to see. Now, really capture this, because this is really the foundation of where we're going, and it's very important. Here's what I want us to see. Jesus called these men to get into a ship and sail across the sea. And for the most part, these were experienced fishermen. They had sailed upon the waters hundreds of times before, day after day, year after year. They could set their sails and row their oars in their sleep because they had done it 100 of times. And in this story, rowing on nice, calm, peaceful, tranquil waters, they could have rowed with this subconscious mindset. This is something I can do. I've done this hundreds of times before, and I know how to do this. I'm very comfortable at doing this. And this subconscious mindset could have even gone a little further. It could have said this: I really don't need the Lord's help doing this. I've done this so many times before, it just comes natural now. And so they could have rowed those oars feeling very comfortable in these calm and peaceful waters. Now really capture that. For the most part, these were experienced fishermen. Before they ever met Jesus, before Jesus ever came into their lives, they had sailed upon the waters hundreds of times. It was something that was so natural for them to do. And being something so natural for them to do, whether they realized it or not, a mindset could have come in as they were rowing the boat following Jesus' instructions. I can do this. I've done it 100 times before. This is very comfortable to me. And can I just say, these waters, these nice, calm, peaceful waters, can represent places of calling and ministry in our lives. Sometimes we can become very comfortable in our ministry. Sometimes we can become very comfortable in our calling. Sometimes we can become very comfortable in our position and really lose our sense of need for God's help. Sometimes there may be places where we are becoming self-sufficient and losing that place of dependency upon God. You know, I can use my own self as an example. I've been teaching here at Summit going on 20 years now. For 20 years, year after year, day after day, class after class, I have went into the classroom and I have opened my Bibles and I've taught the Word of God. And if I'm not careful, I can come into a mindset that says, you know what, I can do this. I've done it year after year. I've done it day after day. This is very comfortable for me. And without even realizing it, I can slip into a place of self-sufficiency. And please don't misunderstand me. I believe the Lord wants us to enjoy our ministry and have a level of confidence. I don't think He always wants us feeling stressed and distressed and bent out of shape. We can enjoy our ministry and approach it with confidence. But what I'm talking about is truly, truly losing our sense of need for the Lord's help. Becoming self-sufficient and truly losing that place of dependence upon the Lord. Amen. Listen, when you've been doing something year after year after year, day after day after day, there can come a place, whether we realize it or not, where we start becoming self-sufficient. That I really don't see the need for His help in this anymore. I can do this. This has become so natural for me. And we can really begin to lose that place of dependency upon the Lord and come into a place of self-sufficiency. But now going back to our story, when the storm hit comfortable sailors, these comfortable sailors weren't comfortable anymore upon the water. They suddenly realized, though I sailed these waters 100 times, this is so much bigger than me. This is so much stronger than me. This is something so much more powerful than my human strength. And beloved, please hear me. When it comes to the things we know that God is calling us to do, every Christian professes, I know I can't do this without the Lord. I know I can't do this without God's help. I know I can't do this without God's help, without His strength. But God knows when it's becoming an empty profession. We may think we sincerely mean it, but God knows when it's beginning to lose its weight in our heart. He sees those places we may not see, where we are becoming self-sufficient and losing that place of dependency upon the Lord. And this is when He sends the storm, where we are no longer comfortable in our calling, where we are no longer comfortable in all of our rowing and working in our strength. And we have to realize, this is so much bigger than me. This is so much stronger than me. This is something so much more powerful than my human strength and abilities. Look with me at verse 25. It says, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So now in this storm, Jesus brings in the supernatural. He brings the supernatural one more time to their attention. On the nice, calm waters, everything was comfortable and natural. But now in the storm, one more time, they move out of the natural and into the supernatural. And beloveds, it's in the storms where Jesus reminds us one more time, your calling is supernatural. Anything less than supernatural power will fall short of my purposes. Anything less than supernatural strength will fall short of my purposes. You are called to walk and work in supernatural strength and power, and anything less will not suffice. And I believe there are times in our own calling and in our own ministries and in our own positions where we really need to be stirred and shaken. I believe with all my heart there are times where we have become so comfortable or self-sufficient that God needs to stir us and shake us to remember that our calling is supernatural. We are called to make an eternal impact in what God has called us to do, and that requires walking in supernatural strength and power. Anything less will fail God's purposes. Beloved, in our ministries and calling, we need a good storm every once in a while, because a good storm just has a way of humbling us and bringing us back into supernatural grace. A good storm just has a way of humbling us and bringing us back into supernatural strength. Like these disciples who had rowed upon these waters hundreds of times, calm, tranquil waters, or sometimes the waters were a little stormy. But they had rowed upon these waters hundreds of times before, and they were very comfortable with these waters. They were very natural with these waters. But it was when the storm came, suddenly the waters became supernatural. And I'm simply telling us, there are places in our ministry where we can become overly comfortable. Or we can really begin to lose our sense of, I really need God's help doing this. Or we can start coming to a place where in this we become self-sufficient. And God says, you know what you're about to do? You're about to lose the supernatural edge. So I'm going to send a storm. And what that storm is going to do, it's going to humble you one more time to show you that even in this place, even in this position, even in this ministry, you need supernatural strength. Because anything less will not suffice. Anything less will not make eternal impact. Amen. So Jesus one more time brings the supernatural into play. One more time he uses the storm to bring them out of the natural and into the supernatural. But something happens. Look with me at verse 26 and verse 27. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So verse 26 says that they saw Jesus walking on the water, but they didn't recognize him. In fact, they saw him as something else. And beloved, storms can have a way of distorting our vision of Christ. Now, I want you to capture this. I'm sure if Jesus had come walking to them on the water, when the water was still, when the water was calm, when the water was tranquil, they would have recognized him. They would have had no problem recognizing him. I have no doubt of that. But the storm with all the wind and the waves and the violence and the chaos distorted their vision and they didn't recognize him. In fact, they saw him as something he was not. And can I say that if our own lives were always comfortable and calm and pain-free, we would have no problem recognizing God's goodness and God's great blessing upon our lives? But it's in the storms his goodness can become distorted in our lives. It's in the storms we can begin to say, if God is so good, how could he have allowed this to happen in my life? If God is so good, why did he allow this calamity in my life? If God is so good, why did he allow this tragedy in my life? Where is God's goodness in this? It's in the storms where suddenly we can have a very hard time seeing and recognizing God's goodness in our lives. But can I just say that somewhere in the storm, God opens our eyes to see that he doesn't change. He opens our eyes to see that not only in the calm waters, but in the storm waters, my goodness does not change. Not only in the good times, but in the bad times, the painful times, my faithfulness does not change. The storms do not change who I am. And that's important. That's a good reason why they go through storms. Because if our life was like these calm, tranquil, peaceful waters all the time, we would have no problem recognizing Jesus coming with his goodness. But it's in the storms where, you know, his goodness can start becoming distorted in our lives. Wow, if God is so good, how could he allow this to happen? But there's a purpose for the storms. And that's to show us, though everything in this earth may change, I never change. I'm not only good when the waters are calm. I'm good when the waters are stormy. I'm not only good when everything is going right and everything is going great. I'm faithful when everything seems to be shaken. Storms do not change me. And I'm going to tell you something. That produces something very powerful in our life. I want you to look at the next verse. Look at verse 27. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And I really want to emphasize those words. In the storm, he tells them, be not afraid. Beloved, it's in the storm where the fear of the storm is broken over our lives. It's in the storm where the power of Christ's word sets us free from the voice of the storm. And ultimately, we become a people who do not live in fear of storms because we know when they come, the strength of God's presence in our lives and the power of his word in our heart will be sufficient to walk above any storms that may come. In other words, storms produce freedom. It's in the storm where Jesus actually breaks the power of the storm and the fear of the storm in our lives. And we actually come to a place where I don't live my life any longer afraid of coming storms. I know in my life storms are coming. I don't see them, but I know they're coming. But I no longer live in fear of their coming. Because I have learned in the storms, his presence in my life and the power of his word in my life is sufficient to walk above every storm that comes. So ultimately, storms produce freedom. And sometimes you have to weather a lot of bad weather to come into this freedom. But the good news is he's faithful to bring us into this freedom. You know, when you're finally free from fear, when we're finally free from fear, that's when we're ready to live our Christian life to its fullest. When we're finally free from the grip of fear and foreboding, that's when we're ready to live our Christian lives for Jesus in its fullest. Because the power of the storm has been broken in our life. Doesn't mean there's no storms. Yeah, they come. But I don't live in fear of coming storms. Because I have learned in the storm, his presence in my life and the power of his word in my heart is sufficient to walk above every storm that comes. The fear of the storm has been broken in my life. Amen. Now, I want you to look with me at verse 26 through 28. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Bid me come unto thee on the water. So he says, Lord, if it is you, let me walk with you upon the water. So, beloved, it's when the waters are stormy. It's when the waters are no longer comfortable. It's when the waters are suddenly threatening to swallow him up that a cry comes to Peter's heart. And that cry is this. Jesus, in this place where I have been comfortable so many times before, Let me now walk in it in the supernatural. Upon these waters where my own strength seems sufficient, time and time again, let me now walk in supernatural power. I have rowed upon these same waters many times before, and my own strength seems sufficient. But now I recognize that even in this place, it has to be a supernatural walk with supernatural strength and power. And beloved, this represents a cry coming into our heart. And that cry is simply this: in this place where I've gotten so comfortable, would you cause this place, would you cause this ministry to become supernatural again? In this place where I've become so comfortable and even self-sufficient, in this ministry, in this position, would you cause it to become supernatural again? One more time would you use this pulpit. One more time would you use this classroom. One more time would you use this job site. One more time would you use this place where I have become so comfortable. Would you use this place to teach me how to walk in supernatural places again? This place where I have become so comfortable, would you use it to train me how to walk in places where my own strength could never stand? Beloved, when God sends storms into places where we have become comfortable and self-sufficient, it's God's faithfulness to send the storm. See, God sees that deep down in our heart, we don't want anything less than the supernatural. We don't want anything less than the miraculous. He hears that cry deep in our hearts that says, if my ministry loses the supernatural edge, if my calling loses the supernatural edge, I don't want it anymore. If you have to take me out of what seems so natural in order to put me back in the supernatural, please do it. If you have to uproot me from the comfortable places where I'm becoming self-sufficient, if you have to uproot me from these places, then do it, O Lord. God, I want to walk in supernatural. Beloved, God hears that cry. He hears that cry in the heart that says, I never want to lose my supernatural edge. If I'm becoming comfortable and self-sufficient in a place in my ministry where I'm really losing the weightiness of needing God's help, God, would you uproot me from that place? I don't want to be in that place anymore. I'd rather be in uncomfortable places with God than be in overly comfortable places with God, because I never want to lose that sense of humility and dependence upon the Lord. And I want to keep the supernatural. God hears that cry. So when we start finding ourselves becoming self-sufficient, becoming overly comfortable, becoming to that place where, you know what, I can do this. I've done it so many times, I can do this. I really don't see my need for the Lord's help anymore. God will send the storm. And say one more time, we need to make this a supernatural place. One more time, you need to be humbled. So in due time, as James says, I can lift you up in supernatural grace and strength again. And if it takes the storm to humble you again, I'll send it, because somewhere in that storm, in due time, supernatural grace and strength will lift you up again. Amen. Beloved, there are storms we really need to thank God for, because it's the storm that makes our pulpit supernatural again. It's the storm that makes our Sunday school supernatural again. It's the storm that makes our classroom supernatural again. It's the storm that makes our outreach and our ministry and our calling supernatural again. In those places of ministry where we have become so comfortable and self-sufficient, it's the storm that suddenly makes these places of ministry supernatural again. And here's another way I want to look at it. Capture this. Peter sailed upon these waters hundreds of times and really didn't see his need for supernatural strength and power upon these waters. When it came to feeding the 5,000 with a few fish and loaves, when it came to healing the deaf and the lame, he really saw his need for supernatural power, but not when it came to sailing upon these waters, because he had sailed upon them countless times before. In fact, when it came to sailing upon his waters, he found his own strength sufficient. You see, before Jesus came into his life, he had already sailed upon these waters hundreds of times, finding his strength sufficient to hoist up the sails and row the oars, so he really didn't sense his need for supernatural strength in these things. And my point is simply this. Peter had sailed on these waters many times before, rowing the oars and raising the sails, and he found his own strength sufficient to do these things. But it was in the storm where he realized places where my own strength was sufficient isn't sufficient anymore. And beloved, in our own lives, I'm sure there are things we were doing in our own strength before we ever got saved. In our own lives, I'm sure there are things we were doing in our own strength before we ever met Jesus. Like working a job or managing a career. Like raising our children. But now the Lord is saying, now that you're saved and indwelt by my presence, even these things that you once did so naturally in your own strength, you need to begin to do them in the supernatural. And so he sends storms into these places to help us realize places where my own strength was sufficient, they ain't sufficient anymore. This job that I'm working where my own strength was sufficient, my own strength ain't sufficient in this job anymore. Raising my children. Before I met Jesus, I was raising my children. I was raising them good. My strength was sufficient. But now that I'm saved, somehow I'm finding out when it comes to raising my children and making an eternal impact upon their life, my strength ain't sufficient anymore. No, Peter could have easily said, you know what, before I ever met you, Jesus, before you ever came into my life, before I ever got saved, I was sailing in these waters, rowing the oars, hoisting the sails, and my strength was sufficient. And the Lord says, yeah, it was. But now I'm going to send the storm. And I'm going to show you that even in this place, you have to walk in supernatural strength. It ain't sufficient anymore. Because even in this place, you're called to make an eternal impact. And anything less than supernatural strength and power will fall short. Amen. Let me conclude with this. So Peter realizes that even in places where his strength seemed sufficient, it wasn't sufficient anymore. And it's then he asked Jesus, in this place, let me walk in supernatural strength with you. And how did Jesus respond? Look at verse 29. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So how did Jesus respond? Jesus responded by speaking his word. Jesus spoke his word. He said, come. And here's what I want us to see. Jesus spoke his word, and it was a supernatural word. A word that could hold Peter up in a place where human strength would sink every time. And what I truly want us to see, here's what I truly want us to see. What I truly want us to see is that the word became supernatural in a place where Peter was always self-sufficient. And my question is, how many of us need to see the word become supernatural in places where we have always been self-sufficient? Often it's in the storm where this happens. It's in the storm where the word accomplishes something supernatural in places where we've always been self-sufficient. Amen. Peter could have easily said, Jesus, on these waters, I'm so self-sufficient. I can row the oars. I can hoist the sails. You know, I really don't see my need for you upon these waters. I mean, I got this. I've been doing this for years. This is natural. Upon these waters, he could have been very self-sufficient. But suddenly in the storm, he's looking for a word that will transform him from self-sufficiency to supernatural. And that's the beauty of the storm. In places where we just feel so self-sufficient, this is so natural, I'm so comfortable. When God sends that storm, it's because he's saying, now I want to take you from self-sufficiency supernatural, because anything less will fulfill my purposes. Amen. Now, let me end with this. We can go on and talk about Peter seeing the violence of the wind and waves and sinking in his doubts. But I feel like for this message, the Lord wants us to stop here. He just wants us to understand that sometimes places where we become very comfortable, they need to become supernatural places again. I'm telling you, if you've been in a ministry and you've been doing it for a while and we've just become very comfortable and self-sufficiency is beginning to set in the heart, I'm telling you, those places need to become supernatural again. Sometimes we may not realize it, but there are places where we are becoming self-sufficient and we are losing the supernatural touch. And so God has to send the storm into these places to humble us and cause us to see that, Lord, even in this place, I have to walk in supernatural power because I'm called to make an eternal impact. And anything less will fail your purposes. Amen. You know, I wonder how many pastors have been standing in pulpits for so long. They've gotten comfortable. They've been preaching sermons years after years behind the same pulpit to the same people year after year, and they don't even realize it, but a place of self-sufficiency has come in. God says, you know what? I need to make that pulpit supernatural again, and it will take the storm. I wonder how many Sunday school teachers have been teaching Sunday school for years. I think about my grandmother. She taught Sunday school in the same small country church for 50 years. You know, I wonder how many Sunday school teachers, they've just been doing it for so long, and now the weightiness of needing God's help, they've lost it. And again, self-sufficiency. And God says, you know what? I need to make that Sunday school supernatural again. The only way to do that is to send the storm. Amen. Send the storm. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Here's my altar call this morning. Is there a place in your life where your strength and your abilities were sufficient, but you have suddenly found yourself in a place of great weakness? That your strength and ability is not sufficient anymore? In your ministry, on your job, in your career, were there places where your strength and your abilities were just sufficient and you could do it? But suddenly, out of nowhere, God, I'm in such a place of weakness here, and my strength and my abilities and my know-how just don't cut it anymore. I need something from heaven. Beloved, that's because even in that place, God is transforming you from self-sufficiency to supernatural. See, even in places that may seem so natural, God is calling us to make an eternal impact. Can I tell you this? Here's what's in my heart. Listen. If you're a little league baseball coach, we're coaching little league baseball, the little league fellas, 8 and 9 year olds. God is calling you to make an eternal impact upon their life. So you can't even coach little league softball without walking in the supernatural. So God will send a storm to that little league baseball coach and say, you know what? You used to be very sufficient at this. But you're not sufficient anymore. You need supernatural grace. That's what the storm is for. Humble yourself. Peter's a perfect example of it in the storm. Humble yourself. I'm sure sinking in that storm, he felt very humble. Humble yourself. And somewhere in due time, I will raise you up in supernatural strength again. Amen. So here's my altar call, real quickly. Is there a place in your life where your strength and your abilities were sufficient, but you have suddenly found yourself in a place of great weakness, that your strength and abilities are not sufficient anymore? is because God is now bringing you from self-sufficiency to the supernatural, even in this place. So the altar call is simply this: Pastor Tim, that's me. Things that were so easy for me to do even before I met Jesus, things I could just do in my own strength before I even met Jesus, they're suddenly become very hard. I'm suddenly in a great place of weakness, and I suddenly realize that even in this place, I need the supernatural touch of God on my life. So if that's you, let's just come to the altar and let's give it to the Lord. Amen. It might just be me. I might be the only one making the altar call in my heart. But I'm just telling you, if that is you, let's come and give it to the Lord. Amen. Caitlin, I'm going to ask you to play something just softly. And everyone else, just bow your head with me. And you that's come, let's just give it to the Lord. And let's just begin to place our confidence in the Lord even in the storm. Lord, I thank you that in this place of weakness, God, you said if I'll humble myself, in due time you will lift me up. That God, if I humble myself in this place, one more time you will lift me up in supernatural strength and supernatural power. God, I thank you that in places where I may have, whether I realize it or not, I may have lost my sense of need for God's help and becoming self-sufficient. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to humble me in these places. God, in these places, you lift me up, and it continues to be a supernatural walk. God, I thank you as a pastor when you bring the storm to make this pulpit supernatural again. God, I thank you that as a teacher, you bring the storm to make the classroom supernatural again. God, I may have sailed in those classrooms in this pulpit hundreds of times before. And God, I thank you that when something of self-sufficiency gets into the heart, Lord, you know how to bring humility again and supernatural grace again. I thank you for that, God. And Lord, my brothers and sisters that are in this altar, I just thank you, God, that, Lord, you're going to raise us up. You're going to raise us up. God, you're going to raise us up. I thank you that our callings are going to have that supernatural edge again. And we will make an eternal impact. Amen. You that have come to the altar, just take a couple of minutes just to spend time with the Lord. Whatever you need from the Lord, draw it from the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've called us to be a people that make an eternal impact upon lives. And Father, I thank you that even in the normal things of life, where our strength does seem sufficient, God, even in those places, you can bring us from self-sufficiency to supernatural strength, God. Father, I know in my heart, Lord, that if we're going to be a chef in your kitchen or a maintenance man in your ministry, or a pastor in your pulpit, even in these things, God, we have to walk in supernatural strength and power. If our lives are going to make eternal impact upon people's lives, we have to walk in supernatural strength and power, even in what may appear to be so normal and natural, God. And Lord, I thank you that it's in the storm, God, where you confront the self-sufficiency in our lives and things that we're so used to doing in our own strength. And God bringing us into supernatural strength, God. Lord, Peter had sailed those waters many times before he even met you. He knew he could do it. He knew he could do it without you. But it was in the storm he suddenly realized, even in this place, I need supernatural strength. God, I thank you. You are making us a supernatural people, God. And Lord, for those that have come to the altar this morning, Lord, would you just encourage their heart? God, would you just assure them, Lord, that as they humble themselves before you, in due time, you will lift them up. Wait upon the Lord, and he will renew your strength, and you will mount up on wings of eagles. Lord, sometimes it takes a storm to humble ourselves. But Lord, you always come with eagle's wings and renew our strength. Father, I thank you. God, as we go now, Lord, I just pray a special blessing upon the fathers. Let it be a good Father's Day. And more than anything, help us to remember we have a Father in heaven whose faithfulness is unfailing. Lord, we love you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.